Please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6, right at the beginning of the chapter, Luke chapter 6. We will start here in Luke chapter 6 and then eventually go over to Matthew chapter 12, the same event, but a few different details recorded by each of these two men. So we begin here in Luke chapter 6. Lord of the Sabbath, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, the Lord's day, the Sunday, the first day of the week, the day that Jesus arose from the dead. As we talk about the Sabbath day and Jesus being Lord of the Sabbath, help us to learn something about how we ought to conduct ourselves on the Lord's Day. I pray for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess you've noticed not everybody lives by the same rules. Not even all Christians live by the same rules. How they dress, their forms of entertainment and recreation, regarding television, what they watch or whether or not they watch at all, lots of different music standards. Not everyone even attends church that calls themselves Christians. Why are there so many different rules? And where do these rules come from? In the event that we're looking at today, the Pharisees were concerned that Jesus' disciples were not following the same rules they followed regarding the Sabbath day, and it brought them into conflict with Jesus. So it says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 1, it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first. To understand what this is referring to, this happened soon after the Passover. And so this is the second Sabbath after the Passover. They counted the Sabbaths between the Passover and the day of Pentecost. So this is the second Sabbath between those two events. For Israel and the Israelites, Sabbath was a sacred day. You know, it's the fourth commandment. Exodus chapter 20, verses 10, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. But for the Jews, what constituted work? That was a big question. And we'll deal with that in a moment. Continuing in verse 1, it says, and he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. Now, Jesus and his disciples are walking through a field, probably of wheat, perhaps of barley. So you know how those plants are when the grain is mature. It's on the top of the stalk, and you can take your hand, grab a few stalks, rub it and pull the grain off, but then it includes the chaff as well. And by rubbing it together, you can cause the chaff to go away and you're left with the grain. And you can pop it into your mouth like a snack. This was allowed by the law, Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 25. It's even in the law. It says, when thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, then thou mayest pluck the ears with thine hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn. You can't go harvest your neighbor's grain. But if you happen to be taking a walk by one of your neighbor's wheat fields, you can use your hand and have a snack. So in verse 2, certain of the Pharisees said unto them, why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? Well, what are they doing that's not lawful on the Sabbath days? the law allowed them to do this. Oh, but it was the Sabbath day. Did this action constitute work? 200 years before Christ came onto the earth, a group of scribes and Pharisees met in a council, and they developed what they called the Great Synagogue. And in the Great Synagogue, they made up a lot of rules. Included in those rules were 39 categories of things that classified as work on the Sabbath day. 39 categories. I have all of them here. I won't read them all. But one of them was regarding writing. You were allowed to write one letter. But if you wrote two, that would be work. Or if you wrote a symbol that represented a whole word, that would be work also. Then, of course, you have to have the opposite category of erasing. And you are not allowed to erase a word. That would be considered work. Two other categories, knotting and untying. On the Sabbath day, you're not allowed to tie a knot, and you're not allowed to untie a knot. Not sure they used a lot of strings to tie their shoes back in those days. Now, as we noted in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 25, you were allowed to walk through your neighbor's field as long on the Sabbath day, as long as it was for pleasure, that was fine. If you went out to were walking through your own field and you were going to examine the crop, that would be considered work. But if you're just casually walking through a field, that's fine. So that's not what the Pharisees could object to. What they objected to was them reaping and threshing. Well, those are two other categories. I have the actual words in the Great Synagogue's category for reaping. It says, "He that reaps on the Sabbath day ever so little is guilty of stoning, and plucking of ears of corn is a derivative of reaping." So, you pluck it with your hand, that's work. And rubbing it in your hands together, that's threshing, that's work. So, according to the rules that some rabbis made up 200 years before, Jesus' disciples were guilty. Oh, it wasn't anything that was in the Mosaic law, but it was in the laws of the Great Synagogue. And so Jesus' disciples, as far as the Pharisees were concerned, did something unlawful on the Sabbath day. So Jesus says, well, let's evaluate. Verse 3. And Jesus answering them said, "Have ye not read so much as this, what David did when himself was an hungered, and they which were with him, how he went into the house of God, and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat but for the priests." Oh, what did David do? Well, David was running from King Saul at this point with Jonathan's blessing, Saul's son. He comes upon the priest, Abimelech. Abimelech was a little concerned about David's showing up. It was a Sabbath day, in fact. But he accepted David's reason or excuse, whichever it may be, and cooperated with David and willingly gave David some of the showbread. 1 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 6. In that event, says, "So the priest gave him hallowed bread for there was no bread there but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. It appears that he gave David hot bread, which indicates that this was a Sabbath day, because according to Leviticus chapter 24, verses 8 and 9, it was on the Sabbath day that the priests made this bread so that it would be fresh on the Sabbath day when the priests went into the holy place to do certain special ceremonies on the Sabbath day. And so David's there on a Sabbath day eating showbread that is nice and warm that was intended only for the priests. Notice also it says here in verse 4 how he went into the house of God. David went into the tabernacle. The temple hadn't been built yet, remember. Solomon will build that. This is still the tent, the tabernacle. David goes into the tabernacle. He's not supposed to do that. Only priests are supposed to do that. And so, according to the rules, the priests, David had violated the rules of the Sabbath. And that was really bad. Then at this point, we go over to Matthew chapter 12. And you'll notice here verses 3 and 4 are the same as the verses we just read over in Luke chapter 6. So we come to verse 5. Matthew chapter 12, verse 5. After saying that David, according to your rules, had violated the Sabbath day, then he says, verse 5, or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath day? Oh, how was that? They baked bread. That's the connection. That's why these two things are shared together. David eating the showbread. Well, how did it get there? The priests had to bake it. And according to the rules of the Pharisees, baking bread on the Sabbath day was unlawful. Well, Leviticus chapter 24, verses 5 through 8 gives the instructions how they are to bake the bread, what they're to use to make it, and how they're to lay it out. 6 in a row, 12 loaves altogether on the Sabbath day. So here, the priests violating the Sabbath day, every Sabbath day, and the most revered king of Israel's history, David, was guilty of violating the Sabbath day, and even more. So Jesus says, in effect, you're missing something. Notice the last three words in verse 5. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? God doesn't hold them accountable. In fact, God is the one who told them to do this. If the priests can do on the Sabbath day what you claim to be work and be blameless, then something is wrong with your definition of work. Then he goes to verse 6. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Now that's a curious statement. He's obviously referring to himself. How do we know he's greater than the temple? Well, consider this. Which member of the Godhead do you think it was that in the form of the Shekinah glory came down from heaven and dwelt in the Holy of Holies? Well, we know that it was Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verifies for us that it was Christ that followed the Israelites around in the wilderness as the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Verse 3, who being the, anybody know what the next words are? The brightness of his glory. Jesus is the brightness of his glory. I think it was the eternal Son of God in the Shekinah glory that dwelt in the Holy of Holies, just like he led the Israelites in the wilderness through the pillar of cloud and fire. And so here are the Pharisees accusing Jesus of allowing his disciples to do something terribly wrong on the Sabbath day, and yet he is the one who actually they worshiped in the Holy of Holies. So what does he say in verse 7? But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. It comes from Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6, where it says, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice. He's saying that the sacrifices he outlined for the Israelites to do was not simply about obeying the rules. It wasn't simply about offering the sacrifices. The sacrifices were meant to be an illustration to teach you that forgiveness is available and that God wanted to be merciful to you. So if you understood this, and out of grateful for the mercy that you have received, you would show mercy to others. And this would be considered by God to be greater than the sacrifices you offered. Because you understood it wasn't simply about going through the motions of offering sacrifices. It was about learning the lesson of mercy. And then he says this in verse 8, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. Over in Mark chapter 2, verses 27 and 28, he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. From that statement, we learn that the Sabbath was made. That's important. And who made the Sabbath? Jesus did. Along with the Holy Spirit and God the Father in creation. And who made the rules for the Sabbath? Jesus. Who owns the copyright for the Sabbath? Jesus. I've written a number of things. I recall I wrote a couple of books, and people will ask if they can quote from it, and I have no problem. Just don't change it. Now, if it gets changed, I have exclusive rights to that. If anything is going to be changed about the way you conduct yourself on the Sabbath day, Jesus says, I'm the one that will decide that. Because I am the Lord of the Sabbath. If David could eat showbread on a Sabbath day, no less. If priests could bake the bread on a Sabbath day, Jesus' disciples certainly could pluck a few grains of wheat and have a snack. Now, the next thing that happens here in Matthew chapter 12 is an event that Luke says happened on another Sabbath day, but Matthew includes it right here because he wants to show that Jesus is proving the point, how he is the Lord of the Sabbath. And so Matthew chapter 12 and verse 9, and when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? Because that's another one of the rules. You can't heal. Oh, my, shouldn't do that. Verse 11, and he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? What would you do for an animal? Even on the Sabbath day, you wouldn't let an animal fall into a pit without food and water. You would rescue the animal. So he asked the question, verse 12. How much then is a man better than a sheep? Now, granted, that may be a controversial statement today. To say such a thing, you might be called a speciesist. Did you know a full 32% of Americans believe that animals should have the same rights as people? This is actually a rhetorical question. The question, how much then is a man better than a sheep? The rhetorical answer, a man is so much better than a sheep. And so if you would rescue an animal, if you would show mercy to an animal on the Sabbath day, isn't it reasonable to show mercy to a man? Pharisees said healing someone constituted work, and thus it was unlawful on the Sabbath day. Jesus said, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. He showed this man mercy on the Sabbath day. Now, Sunday is not the Sabbath. The reason today's Christians worship on Sunday is because that's the first day of the week, and that's the day Jesus arose from the dead. There is ample scripture to affirm that for us. Jesus met with his disciples after the resurrection on the first day of the week, John chapter 20, verse 19. Paul preached to the disciples in Troas on the first day of the week, Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Believers are instructed to lay aside their offerings to the Lord on the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. And Sunday is not the Sabbath day. That's Saturday. Still is. So how does this relate to us? Well, it is possible for us to make Sunday as much a day of rituals as the Jews did to the Sabbath day. The preacher works on Sunday. Some people think that's the only day of the week he works, but he does work on Sunday and hopefully is blameless for it. Any of you cook your meal on Sunday? Sure. Should we honor Sunday as the Lord's day? Absolutely. But the question is, do we honor the day more than we honor the Lord? That was the Jews' problem. They really weren't that concerned about the Lord on the Sabbath. It was all about doing the right thing and following the rules. They honored the day as though the day itself was an all-encompassing day of blessing as long as you follow the rules. Let me ask you, why do we come to church? Do we come merely because it's Sunday? Or do we come to honor the Lord? Have we set this day aside as a day because it's a special day? Or have we set this day aside because it's the time we gather to honor the Lord? This is the Lord's day. And it's worthy for us to take time out to honor the Lord. But let's make sure we honor the Lord more than we honor the day. And don't get that backwards. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He makes all the rules. Let's not circumvent his rules with our own. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being the Lord. And I pray that we would not ever forget that. I pray that we would not fixate ourselves upon ritual and man-made rules, but we would have a heart that loves you enough to honor you. We honor you by coming together in this place. We honor you by singing songs that give you praise. We honor you by acknowledging you as our God and praying to you and making our requests known unto you. We honor you by rightly dividing your word of truth. All of this is for you. May it be that in every one of our hearts, as we gather here in this place, on this designated day, that we honor you above all. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.